Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Guys, what's up? I want to take a quick second to let you guys know that our podcast is supported by Anchor. That's right. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. I'm doing this ad from my phone as we speak. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. Evidently, I can't talk. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Now back to the show. Episode 111 of the Wash Up Walk-Ons podcast. We are back. Shorter episode today. Jam-packed. We went fast. The tempo was quick. We got a lot into this 30 minutes. The NFL draft happened over the weekend, and five of your Iowa Hawkeyes were selected. Three more will be attending camps as undrafted free agents. Let's talk about it. Let's have a day. Let's go. Welcome back, Wash Up Walk-Ons fans. Episode 111 of the podcast, aka the Corona Chronicles. Still locked in my house, haven't left in what feels like forever. Today, we get to talk about the one piece of live sports that have happened in what feels like 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, whatever it's been. But the draft happened, and we get to talk about all of our freak friends who made it further than we did. So let's go.
And we're ripping. We're ripping, babies. Kev just froze. He's going to be pissed. He's going to be screamed. There he is. Okay. He's spinning around. This is going to be a quicker episode one because, we had Jaleel decided he was hungry, fucked up our entire Sunday while trying to record this episode. And now The Last Dance is coming on episodes 3 and 4. Hope everybody at home has been watching. Fantastic. First two episodes.
Let's MJ talk. Is the GOAT.
You know, it's been an eye-opening experience because none of us got to see MJ play live. We were 4 when he finished playing, and he was decent. I really like LeBron James. I don't want to get into it because I do feel like it's two completely different, just completely different styles of basketball. I will say this. MJ is way more savage than LeBron is. MJ and Kobe, I think, both had that, like, fuck you. I don't care if you're my teammate. Like, do what I say so that we can win. I think LeBron is more like...
Yeah, MJ did not care about your feelings.
No, he didn't give a shit. And it's fun to watch, man. It's fun to watch all of them.
Oh, yeah.
I heard that... What?
Go for it.
I heard that he punched Steve Kerr in the face one time. It's getting dark now, so now I guess I have to flip on the old light. But, yeah, good watch. Anyway, there was a draft. Five Iowa Hawkeyes were taken in the 2020 virtual NFL draft. We'll talk about that in a second. Count them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Didn't know for a while. Got a little slippery there, which is some bullshit. We'll get there. Let's start it off hot.
How many draft picks did Iowa State have?
Zero.
Just as many as Marshalltown High School did. I wanted to bring something up because I thought this was funny. I saw it on Twitter. Again, if you're listening to this episode, this one comes out on Monday, the 27th. There's Heroes merch available. All right. I'll post a link along with this episode, but there's Heroes merch available. All of the stuff goes to the UI Medical Emergency Fund for those that are helping the save lives during Corona. They're saving Kevin's life on a daily basis. rate and subscribe to us on all channels. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. That's where the best content is. All right. If you can go back and watch, you're going to get twice as much out of it because it's funny as hell to watch these episodes go down.
It's also funny as hell to see how little hair you have on top of your head.
I don't have a lot of hair. There's very little hair. Comes up every episode now, and I'm over it. Saw this today. This was on Twitter. Has nothing to do with Jordan. Has nothing to do with Corona. Tulane has dismissed Tayshaun Hightower from its basketball program per release. Hightower was charged with murder in connection with a homicide that occurred earlier this month in Georgia. And I just thought, hey, guy, don't kill people. How about that one? How about we don't kill people?
If you are an athlete, I think we should all learn from Aaron Hernandez. So if you're not an athlete, still shouldn't kill people.
Yeah.
But if you want to kill people, at least you're not screwing over your teammates and your university and everything like that. If you are an athlete, please wait until the end of your career to
now, are we sure that this warranted getting thrown off the team? Don't you think a 2-game suspension would have been sufficient?
I thought four,
if it was one of Nick Saban's players and it was going to interfere with the Iron Bowl, he'd still be able to play.
It would have been a delayed suspension.
they were going to wait to the court date.
It was going to be an off-season kind of disciplining. I thought to myself, you know, if you're going to kill someone, let's maybe wait till you have your degree. All right. I understand that sometimes you just need to off somebody. Okay. But let's get an education. Okay.
And then maybe with that education, you can make the educated decision to not off that person.
Right. You need a speech pathologist.
And not to mention, like, you got caught, bud.
Yeah. Hey. Don't get caught. If you're gonna kill someone and throw them in a river, don't get caught doing it. All right. Then you're gonna go to jail forever.
And right? Then Big Blue is gonna go oops all over you.
Yeah. Let's get back to the draft.
Well, we're going to hell. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. That's all right.
Tristan got drafted 13th, which is bullshit. He didn't get drafted 8th. The state of Arizona, honestly,
yeah.
I don't want to be here anymore. The Arizona Cardinals are dead to me. I hope their organization burns to the ground. Yep. State Farm Stadium gets leveled. I hope they're 0-16 until the NFL just decides to drop them.
Well,
and I just want that organization to burn to the ground.
Sure, and we'll get there. Joe Burrow, number one pick. Everyone knew it. It was a foregone conclusion. Saw that he had been studying the Bengals playbook for a month already. I personally, and not that Joe Burrow matters at all to us other than the fact that we're doing a podcast about mostly football, I think Joe Burrow is going to do well in Cincinnati. And that's my personal – I just think some of these guys, you get a guy every once in a while that, you know, you get your Andrew Luck, all right? You get your Patrick Mahomes. Well, not even Patrick Mahomes. He wasn't a sure thing. I think Joe Burrow's a sure thing.
I think he is probably one of the most solid picks since Andrew Luck.
Picks, yeah.
The thing is, like, he's going to such a dog shit team.
They're bad.
Who's he got to throw the ball to?
He might get AJ Green back. Like,
AJ Green don't want to stay there, man.
But he's there and he's coming back healthy, and I think he might want to play for Joe Burrow.
We'll see.
quarterback.
We'll see, man.
I mean, that's the thing with some of these picks, man. Like, if you're going one overall, you're going to a shitty team,
right?
And it's hard to be good with a shitty team around you.
Yeah,
like this ain't basketball where LeBron James can take over and just like, okay, we're gonna win this game because I'm not passing the ball. I'm just going to the hoop every time.
There's twice as many people on the field. Yeah.
Right. Dude, I was watching the draft with a Packers fan. Jared's a huge Packers fan.
Tough one for him. Watching them
draft Bryce Love, and just his reaction was so priceless, dude. He was cursing their ownership out so bad.
And let's talk about that for a second. I mean,
not a popular pick, right?
Yeah,
there.
The comparison, you know, kind of the irony of Rodgers coming in when Favre was there and Favre not liking it, and now the same thing kind of happening, completely different
around situation. The same stage of career. Like,
yeah,
I saw Favre was 34 and Aaron Rodgers is 35 right now.
Yep. And Rodgers and LaFleur known to not have a great relationship, or at least rocky at times. It's such a interesting situation because Rodgers and LaFleur are like the same age.
Rodgers is actually a year older if he's not.
Yeah, I think he might be a year older. So think about that. How weird would that have been? Obviously, in college, it would never happen. But how weird would that have been playing for, especially when you're the quarterback? All right, those guys, they are, regardless of what you say, most of the time going to be a big ego kind of guy. All right, that's just that's who they are. That's the position. They are the center of the team. Everything's on their shoulders. All right, And then they go and make a decision to get your replacement, and you still feel like you got 5 years left in the tank.
They were in the NFC Championship, man. They were one game away from the Super Bowl.
If it wasn't for, give me some help,
we can make another run at this.
Yeah, if it wasn't for Georgie and the boys, A-Rod is playing for a Lombardi. And
hey, man, you've got Geronimo Allison and Marquez Valdez-Scantling as your starting wide receivers, and you think Aaron's the problem?
Well, no, it's not Aaron. That's the problem.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. Is like, go get somebody else before you get a guy's replacement.
I would love to have seen Aaron's reaction when that pick happened. And I think that I would actually take Brandon Smith and Amir Smith-Marset over the Packers wide receiving core, but that is neither here nor there. The first three picks in the draft, Kevin and I both had a little conversation on Twitter about this, all played for Ohio State in 2017, 55-24 Hawks. That's all that needs to be said.
Woodshed.
So did Nick Bosa.
Bosa also on that team, and a bunch of other freaks.
JT Barrett.
And we absolutely
body bags, and that's all we gotta say about that.
And a bunch of corn-fed white kids, a couple corn-fed white kids, and a couple of good recruits walked into Kinnick that night and put a tapping on that ass.
We more than tapped that ass. I think we bent them over an electric fence and just absolutely decimated their backside. Anyway, not that matters. We do play Ohio State this year, and for anybody still on the current Iowa Hawkeye roster, sorry, the walk-ons really fucked you on this one. We're talking
body bags ever since the Tuesday after that game happened.
Talking mad shit, and you guys have to deal with the repercussions. I'm just a 25-year-old who is unemployed. So
we did decide to run a fake punt in the fourth quarter, up 30 points.
We did not.
No.
One player decided to make that, and that is why that one player will never be a part of this podcast.
Yeah. It's going to be tough. Colton, if you're ever listening, which you probably aren't because we shit on you a lot. You found out what real first round speed looked like in a hurry.
And then he found out what KF's mean face looked like.
The guy that tackled him.
Yeah, the safety, number three.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he went first round last year. And by the way, Colton, he's faster than you. Hey, guy.
And you're from Guttenberg, and he had 5 stars.
Hey, guy. Hey.
I'll never forget that in the meeting, dude. He's like, hey, when you decide.
He pointed at him. He goes, Guttenberg, 5 star. Guttenberg. As the fucking air, the laser pointer. This guy right here, Guttenberg, Clayton Ridge High School. This guy right here, future first round pick. 5-star athlete. Dude, I've never seen a guy whip his hips around and close faster. I've never seen
KF more just absolutely distraught in my life.
Dude, KF had his mean.
KF was let's talk about it. Livid.
Well, that's because Coach Ferentz, a Coach Ferentz team, a Coach Ferentz player would never run a fake up 30 points. 35 points. And
hey, guys. Yep, it's me again. Got to interrupt the episode real quick to talk to you guys about Spotify, one of the sponsors of this podcast. On Spotify, you can listen to all your favorite artists and podcasts in one place for free. You don't even need a premium account. Spotify has a huge catalog of podcasts on every topic, including the one you're listening to right now. Yeah, we're on Spotify. I don't know how we did that, but pretty cool. Other things you can do on Spotify is follow your favorite podcast so you never miss an episode. Premium users can download episodes to listen to offline wherever you are, and you can easily share what you're listening to with your friends on Instagram. If you haven't done so already, be sure to download the Spotify app. Search for Washed Up Walk-Ons on Spotify or browse podcasts in the Your Library tab. Also, make sure to follow us so that you never miss an episode of the Washed Up Walk-Ons.
So in Urban Meyer's mind and everybody on the Ohio State side, Coach Ferentz is now like, oh, fuck. Now the entire state of Ohio thinks that I just called a fake just to put the dick a little further in their ass. when that's not at all what I did, we were punting the ball. Dude, when I didn't hear the ball go off his foot, I turned around like
– I turned around mid-play too. I was like, what's
– I get very nervous when I don't hear the ball punted because I assume it's been blocked. And I heard the crowd start going, oh, fuck, it got blocked. Or you can over his head or something.
Oh, yeah. And believe me, all those things went through my head. And I just heard the general noise level of Kinnick rise. And I thought, this should not be exciting. Nothing should be exciting happening. I turn around and I see Colt and I'm like, well, hey guy, go.
This is exciting.
go a little faster. Go a little faster.
He's coming for you.
I can't do anything at this point.
Listen, dude, it's the Iowa way to have just absolute big time high ranked opponents and punters faking punts on their own.
Dude, I want some way, somehow, the Iowa to keep an open schedule and just every week, whoever's the new number one, bring them into Kinnick at night. And we'll see what the final record is. I just want
to see what the fucking punter does.
Yeah, and we'll see what the punter does.
A Michigan, Ron Caluzzi decided the same thing. Jesus Christ, dude.
I've had some scares. We had some scares during our time on punt units. Some fucking dogs out there.
Punters are head cases, man.
Anyway, Tristan, now after those three Ohio State guys, we're like
Tampa Tristan going to play tackle for Tampa Tom.
Unreal. But at number four, the Giants come up, and I'm thinking because I'm a Hawkeye homer, and I'm thinking there's no way there's a guy out there that's better than Tristan Wirfs. There just isn't. New York Giants are taking Tristan, and he's getting $25 million for signing, and they go with some other Joe. All right, and that's fine. It's all fine because, like you said, Tristan then slips a little bit later. Arizona doesn't take him. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Did Tristan come? Did Tristan Wirfs have some video leak like Laramie Tunsil? did Tristan kill somebody? I saw that one on Twitter. And then all of a sudden,
Laramie Tunsil, by the way, just signed a moose of contract.
Yeah, evidently.
Keep going.
Evidently, now you can 100%. You can prove that you can hit a gas mask 35 minutes before draft and still make millions of dollars for the NFL. It doesn't matter anymore. 13th pick comes around. Tampa Bay trades up into the spot that San Francisco held. San Francisco, they've got fucking guys. They're going to be another great team.
They just got the tackle.
Yeah, next year. And we'll talk about that a little bit maybe later on, but the Buccaneers trade up, and there goes the first Hawk off the board. Tristan Wirfs, absolute freak. I don't know if
playing next to Gronk and blocking for Brady. I just looked up the odds. Tampa Bay is now 12-1 to win the Super Bowl.
Wow. I mean, they're stacking it.
After a rough year last year. They got a chance. They got a good defense there. They got guys to throw to, and they got a guy to throw to.
That's what I'm saying. Tampa Bay, they had a good
draft. Their offense is electric factory now.
I will say this, they're probably
they got sweet new unis now too.
With how they've done it, they've got a 1 or 2 year window. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yep.
Because eventually then shit when teams come together quickly in the NFL, it quickly dissipates because
that and Gronk and Brady have 1 or 2 years left.
Yeah, right.
And then they're going to have to pay Chris Godwin top 3
unreal money. Yep. But Bucks, your boy Tristan Wirfs, Mount Vernon, Iowa, could be blocking for Tampa Bay in a Super Bowl near you as long as Corona doesn't kill everyone and wipe us off the face of the earth. And then we had to wait a little bit. And this was a little bit annoying. We had
this
chat.
Was a tough weight. This was the weight that was like the underwear Olympics. This is where the underwear Olympics comes to bite you in your ass.
I'm more and more each year thinking that that there should be. I know the NFL Combine. We want to make money, bring guys in. It's cool. Everybody gets the cool numbers. Do some interviews. Great. Bang, bang, bang. I'm almost to the point where I'm like, fuck the Combine. Everyone just do their own pro day. And then, which this year would have been canceled anyway. I understand that. But AJ Epenesa slipping to the 54th pick to the Bills, who obviously the Bills know what the fuck they're doing. Four Hawkeyes.
How about Ike just calling it?
Oh, my God. Ike said it in the message.
I called it in the group
before, chat. Before the second round even started. After the
morning? No, he called it in first. The morning,
Friday morning. Thursday, Friday Thursday morning. Morning. No, it was Friday morning.
Friday morning.
Oh, Thursday morning.
He was like, it was he's going to – yeah, Ike said something like, he's going to slip to us today, or what if we pick him today?
Yeah, he says, hopefully he falls to us and we pick him.
Yeah. And what do you know, Micah Hyde, Ike Butker, Nick Easley, and now your boy, AJ Epenesa, is going to the Bills. He's going out east, and they got an absolute steal. I don't know how AJ slips to number 54. Other than we talked about it was his 40 time, and that's just bullshit.
He had a rough combine. And the pro day, not having a pro day hurt a lot of guys. Like if you had a rough combine, you couldn't, back it up with a good pro day.
And the reason I think a lot of people are like so confused on why that happens, why like some people, 99% of the time people improve by pro day after the combine, is because the combine is not what you think it is. For players, they are up from sun up till sundown doing interviews. Josie said it was one of the worst experiences he's ever gone through in like the 4 days he was there. They are doing interviews. They are doing, they're basically getting poked and prodded like fucking alien test subjects.
Like cattle, basically.
Yeah. And they're tired. The nutrition is hard to keep right because it's not like they're feeding you. You kind of have to do that on your own. You don't have control most of the time of your own stretching and your own warm-up and your own warm-up
time.
It
sucks. Let's move on.
Yeah, and so it's very tough to go and have your best day at the combine. Now, then you come to your pro day. Doyle sets everything up. Every single test is in order that is picked, unless you're drinking.
It's designed for you to be, at your best, complete 1%.
Right, unless you're drinking Kulik and you tear your pec. I just said, unless you're Drake and you tear your pec and then it doesn't go as well. Anyway, so AJ, and not only AJ, but later in the draft, we'll get to Gino. Gino is another guy that we all think would have done better if he had a pro day.
Gino is like, he's just not a tester. He's like,
at all.
If you turn his film on, he's the guy that's in position and you wonder, how did he know that he needed to be in that position? The guy that plays with absolute fearlessness, and like, you can see that those aren't like things you can measure. The guy's never going to go out and run a 40, and if you draft him to play in the slot and be a man covered safety, like obviously he's not good. That's not his personal style, but right. The kid can play a whole lot of positions on the field
right.
That don't involve running 4.4.
Mm-hmm. And in general, Iowa guys are always going to be the kind of guy who is going to do better at a pro day than is going to do at a combine. That's just the way it is. It just is. I'm so happy. I tweeted the Buffalo Bills and that Bills Mafia. AJ is going to be a great fit there, and I hope he gets a ton of playing time right off the bat.
A bunch of studs on that defensive line, though, so it's definitely a tough.
The Bills are going to be good. I think the Bills are going to be really good next year. And then it gets to round three, and now we're late day two. I personally thought that OJ and Gino and Nate were all going to be day three guys. Nonetheless, the Denver Broncos, another incredibly smart organization. They take Hawkeyes. They like Hawkeyes. John Elway knows what he's doing. He has the outlaw. He has Noah Fant, the freakiest tight end on earth. And now they pick up Michael Ojemudia, OJ, Juice. So happy for OJ. Like
that video of him was pretty cool.
Me and OJ weren't close. Like DB, long snapper, opposite sides of the locker room. Never really talked to him. He's a younger guy than us, obviously. And I felt so hard for OJ when he, that video of him getting drafted, like that is some real emotion. And for him to go third round, that's a huge deal, man. That's really fucking cool.
He played himself into even more money than he was planning on getting, man.
Right. And Kevin, I'd love to hear your thoughts on OJ, because you're the guy coming from the DB room, and you know, you probably know a little bit more.
Yeah, OJ had a baller senior year. Like he was our best defensive back senior year. You know, he went to the combine and he tested really well. He ran like a 4.45 40, and you know, that turned some heads. I don't think people were expecting that. I know I wasn't expecting that. And he's a really smart guy. He's one of those guys that coaches are going to rave about too. Mm-hmm. Like, there's guys that come out that, you know, our coaches will literally like go to bat and say, hey, you need to draft this guy. You won't waste a draft pick on that guy. OJ is one of those guys.
That's awesome. I think that OJ is just a guy who is just going to be reliable, and he's got a chip on his shoulder. He's going to play great football. He's one of those guys who benefits out of that Phil Parker system. He breeds them, man. He's a goddamn wizard with what he does with underrated recruits.
He's a Pokemon trainer, man.
Yeah.
He takes the Bulbasaurs
and he turns them into fucking Venusaurs, dude.
Exactly.
Yeah. Dude, so happy for OJ. Then we really had to wait because we got Gino and Nate were the other two that people expected to get drafted. I thought they were both fifth round guys. It's probably dumb of me because I should know that Hawkeyes are going to slip when the shit like this happens.
It's always, man. It's the Hawkeye curse in the draft. I don't know what it is. Sometimes we get a guy picked super high like Tristan, even though he fell a little bit, or Sheriff. But, like, to be honest, we always fall.
Yeah, and Gino falls all the way to 219, I believe, was his pick. The Baltimore Ravens. Unbelievable. They are one of the best teams in the NFL, and they had an insane draft. They got J.K. Dobbins. They got Duvernay, the receiver. They got a really good linebacker, I think, with their first
draft. Yeah, they got
Patrick Queen.
Queen, yeah.
From LSU, I think. And then they get Geno, who, out of the 10 players they drafted, Geno is, as far as like how much talent they got at that number, Geno's a top five out of those top 10. Like, he's a steal for that pick. And I watched the Ravens fan base on Twitter. They were really happy with that. So finally, Geno comes off the board. And then I almost had an aneurysm watching Nate Stanley not get picked. I almost did. I want to know what you guys thought about that.
I just don't get it. Go ahead, Kev.
I don't get it either.
The Mississippi State quarterback went. The fucking
he's got all the tools, man. He's got a cannon for an arm. He's a super smart guy. He's got the prototypical size. You put him in a scheme for 1 to 2 years, and you know he's going to be a reliable backup. Nate may never start in the league,
but he'll be.
I guarantee you, he sticks around in the league for 5+ years.
Dude, he could be like the. I mean, I guess Josh McCown started a few games, but he could be like a guy who. Nate in like 14 years has played for like 6 teams and he's just a second string quarterback.
And he started like
7 games. Yeah, like 7 yeah. games, and he's made like shitloads of money being a backup quarterback because he is that solid. You're right. He might not ever be a number one guy. There are some things he lacks. He really really likes to fire a ball sometimes when he gets excited. He, like they said, when he was drafted, he isn't a guy that creates a whole lot, although he did have some pretty cool plays when he did create.
I mean, he can be tough to take down sometimes too.
He's tough to take down.
He's a big
sure.
guy. Yeah.
He's not a runner. You're not going to get any Lamar Jackson out of him or any, even a guy like, you know, Patrick Mahomes. He's not going to roll out of the pocket and create a whole lot like that either. He's a pure pocket passer, but a guy who is just going to get it done for you. He's never going to be late to a meeting. He's never going to be late to a lift. He'll never get in trouble off the field. He's going to be the best guy for your organization. He could be a face, and I'm so happy for him. He's going to make so much money in the NFL. And that was it. That was our 5 Hawkeyes drafted. there's not much more to be said. We had three other guys get picked up. Cedric Lattimore is going out to Seattle with the Seahawks. We got Christian Welch
also going to the Ravens,
joining Geno Stone out in Baltimore. And Nate
is going to Cleveland, the armpit of the United States in Cleveland, but we wish him all the best.
Yeah, he's going to get to catch balls from Baker. Probably not Baker, but he'll probably catch a ball from Baker, which is cool. And all of the good luck and just wishes for those guys, best wishes for them, because you give a Hawkeye a chance, it's like you give a mouse a cookie. I think that's the book. You give a fucking Hawkeye a chance and he'll make it happen. Ben Neiman, go down the list. There's one long snapper drafted. There's a couple kickers drafted. And as a former specialist who knows the world of special teams, it is absolutely idiotic to draft a specialist in any of the seven rounds. And that's just my personal thoughts on it. I don't know if you guys have anything else to say. Kevin's trying to watch MJ on The Last Dance, and I got to edit this episode for tomorrow. Anything else, Drake?
No, I'm cool.
Let me check if I have anything else to put in. I just hope everybody – let's close it down on this. I hope everyone's staying safe. I wanted to kind of get into a little bit of a quarantine talk about if
it ain't happening, bro.
Yeah, I know. You realize you can watch these back, you know.
I want to watch it right now.
Okay. Oh. That's, you know, Kevin's dead.
Annoying as fuck with the shit he does.
Just has no dedication to the podcast. Anyway, we'll leave it there. Episode 111 of the Wash Up Walk-Ons. That's our draft recap. Our thoughts will probably give you some more as we keep going through these episodes in the next few weeks. Hopefully these guys can get back on the field. These organizations can get these guys inside their buildings, and we can get some more content and watch some Hawks build their careers in the NFL. I think that's it. Hawks by a million. Sunday night. Hope everybody has a fantastic week. Episode 111. Watch Walk-Ons out. Peace.
Peace, y'all.
I'm MJ Acosta-Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast
that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo.
We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts and be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram too.